Welcome to the Be the CEO of Your Life and Business podcast. I'm Laura Catina.
And I'm Amy Mara.
And we created this podcast out of our own struggles with the hope that we can help other women who are navigating one of the many different seasons we've been through.
Whether you're running a business or dealing with the juggling act of your motherhood and your career, we are here to give you real tips and strategies to navigate it all. So let's dive into today's episode.
So today we are going to be talking about the topic of how to set yourself apart in 2024 as a business owner. I think that I want to kind of just dive in here a little bit and get to a little hard truth of just like a personal judgment of things that I've seen online lately is I feel like there is still this push towards the get rich quick. This is what it takes to be a business owner. You have to have the big social media followings. You have to do all of these things, right? Our lives are like completely consumed with what is online and what we are seeing every single day. But to be quite honest, besides posting our reels and our blogs and keeping up with a consistent social media calendar, that's not how Laura and I are building our business. And I'm really happy and fortunate to say that the way that we've built our business over the past 3.5 years now at this point is consistent, sustainable growth. And those kinds of tips and tricks and strategies are not as like exciting because they are fun.
Glamorous.
Yeah, because there's no way that we can actually say that we did this like overnight or that this is the one, you know, tool that you can use. And this is how you can create a huge following, or you can get a huge client list, or you can make a ton of money and it's going to be growth incremental month over month that you could like flash up on social media. And so why I thought this was important is because I think a lot of our audience, people that would relate to us as moms, as women in business, as entrepreneurs, you are going to be inundated with these kinds of strategies. And we want to bring, I think, the top three things that we believe that the ingredients that make a successful business in 2024.
I love it. I think it's so important because it is so easy to get sucked in on social media, right? And, you know, look at what other people are doing and thinking and getting down on yourself and thinking, why am I not growing like that? Why isn't my growth happening so fast? And honestly, a lot of what we see is just fake.
Yes.
Right.
Or not sustainable.
Right. Fake or not sustainable. And that's not what Amy and I are interested in. Amy and I are interested in growing a business and a brand, right? An asset. We're in it for the long haul. This is not something that we thought would be like a get quick rich overnight scheme.
Right.
So when Amy, you know, presented this topic to me to talk about on the podcast, I thought that it was a really, really great and timely idea. So why don't you dive into the first tip?
So the first tip is, and please don't shut off the podcast after hearing this, but this is going to be tip number one, no matter what, for Laura and I, and that is mindset work. And I heard this really great quote this week that like, you cannot be working on your business before you are working on yourself. And I really could, I want to put it on a bumper sticker. I couldn't love that quote more. It's really, really relevant for us. And I think that this is part of the reason why, you know, there are certain things that come into our life that are meant to be there. We have been working on personal development for what, close to 10 years now at that point?
Really a long time.
Close to 10 years at this point. And it's not just personal development of like, just woo woo, like you're a great person and smile today and like do some act of kindness. No, it's actually like personal and business development that we have been consuming, learning from the best of the best and positioning ourselves, not as like, we're not hiring coaches. We're not hiring mentors. We are consuming the people that are really successful for whatever reason, whatever way that they've become successful in the industries that they're successful in, whether it's personal development like Brendan Burchard, Ed Milet, Mel Robbins, Rachel Hollis, or it's business, Dave Ramsey, although controversial, he's built a billion-dollar business from the 1980s from a folding table in his living room. And all of them say the same thing. You have to work on yourself before you can see the success that you want to see in your business. Because if you're not working on yourself, there really can't be a potential for growth. At least I don't think that that's true.
And you know what? This is where you can use social media like YouTube and online resources for good.
Yes.
So, you know, when I was growing up, obviously we all know I'm old, and there was no internet, there was no any of that. So like, if I was my age now back then, I wouldn't have had the opportunity to learn from Ed Milet and Mel Robbins and like all these big time names that are hugely successful and have such an incredible impact on the world. And you can consume their content for free.
Yes.
So you can watch them on YouTube. You can listen to their podcasts. If you want to spend a little money, you can buy their books.
Or rent their book from the library.
Or take out their book from the, right? Yes. So there are ways to have these mentors from afar, so to speak.
Yeah.
For free. For free.
Yes.
And when you do that work on yourself, maybe it was Natalie Ellis who said it this week, you are the person behind the business.
Yeah.
So in order for the business to grow, you have to grow.
Yeah.
Right. Or if you want your business to, you know, achieve sustainable growth, not yes, anybody can have quick success if you do certain things, but you know, to build something that is sustainable, you have to build a version of you that's sustainable. Does that make sense?
Oh, I like that. That's a great quote. We're building a version of you that is sustainable. I think I love that so much.
Because what do we suffer from so much? Burnout.
Burnout.
That's not sustainable.
And comparing yourself to everybody else that you see, like the flashy cars and the materialistic milestones. Yeah, all of that stuff is really great. And it could be the fruit of your labor. But like, what's going on behind the scenes, right?
Yeah.
What's happening? I can name a handful of people on both of my hands that I have worked with closely that are miserable and they don't want to work on themselves. They think that there's no point in working on themselves. And as a result, it shows in every area of their life, from their health, whether it's physical or mental, whether it is their success, their finances, their relationships.
We have watched this unfold in real time with certain people over the last 10 years or so.
Yeah.
And I saw it, you know, I've been practicing for 22 years. So, and I started out in a really big firm. So I've been, you know, I've worked with a lot of different attorneys over the years. And with some of them, I have literally watched what you're talking about unfold in real time.
Yeah.
The illnesses, the depression, you know, the burnout, you know, the business falling apart, like, because you're not growing and taking care of yourself. You are the person doing your job. You're the person running your business. So if you don't take care of yourself, who's going to?
And it also goes into, what is your mindset, right? Like, there are some very simple, they're not simple, they're very complicated topics, but there's very simple, like black and white examples of mindset that we've talked about on the podcast, where you've talked about a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset, a scarcity mindset versus an abundance mindset. And your way of thinking, your way of approaching your business is all tied back to how you actually think. What are the thoughts that you feed every single day? And that's definitely mindset work. And it is a practice, and it is so, so hard. This is something that we literally still do every single day.
And I don't want anybody to think that this comes easy to us.
No.
Because we've literally been working on this for years.
Yeah.
So this is not something that we just picked up yesterday. I'm like, this sounds good. Let's try this. We come to you every week from our own personal experiences, things that we've been through, that we've learned from, and lessons that we can share with you.
Yeah.
And I think this by far is, I think, one of the biggest things that we've learned over the last 10 years or so.
And the thing about it is that it's not just a like copy and paste instruction of how to start a business or how to set up software or like build a product. Like, that's not what this is. There is no roadmap. There's no instruction manual as to how you need to fix your mindset, because your mindset has been molded from what, former places of employment, your childhood, your family, your friends, the loved ones, your circle, like that circle of people that you have around you. All of that is feeding into your mindset every single day. And you need to do the really hard work that you have to kind of unravel and close off some of those pathways that have been really destructive and have basically been a stall to growth. So one example that I wanted to bring up with this before we move on to the other two really important strategies or tips that we want to talk about today is just a basic revenue goal. I really do think that Laura and I had reached a point where we felt like almost like a block that we couldn't really punch through to a next level until we allowed our mindsets to really take us there and open us up to those possibilities. And then things really started to happen. And
like I'd say almost instantaneously.
Yes. And it was probably within the past year that that really started to show itself. And we were like, whoa, just a little bit of a change in the way that we were thinking about our business and the growth and what we were capable of and the belief in ourselves. It really started to materialize like on paper in bank accounts. Like it was wild to say.
What does that all go back to?
Our mindset. Yeah.
Right. So what's tip number two?
Tip number two is probably another one of our favorite topics to talk about because we have mentioned it a lot in our podcast is that we are all about slow growth and things taking time. So first you got to fix your mindset, right? And that's going to take a really long time and it's not something that's going to happen overnight. The next tip is not another overnight success tip. It's actually about slow growth. So Laura, why don't you dive into just what we have experienced like over the past 4 years of our growth?
You know, I was actually thinking this morning about how far we've come over the last 3 years or 3 years or so, 4 years. We're in our fourth year of business. And like when we started, we didn't have a big real estate practice, for example. I mean, we've both done a little bit of it over the years. But if you think now in our fourth year, what we're doing compared to where we were when we started, I mean, it was, I mean, it's, you know, tenfold what we were doing then. But that was a very slow progress over the last 4 years, right? So, and big part of that was relationships that we've developed. Like, look, these are things that do not happen overnight.
It takes slow time
and steady. You can't develop a trusted relationship over a week, right? You have one transaction with a particular agent, you get along really well, they like what you do for their client, they refer somebody else to you. And then you build and build and build. And I have a couple of people that I've developed a really close working relationship with over the past 4 years that trust me with their clients. And that's something that I take very seriously because if you're referring somebody to me, I have to take care of them, you know, because obviously you trust me enough to send me somebody that you're working with. So I need to do a good job. But that does not happen overnight. So that is something, and it's not just in the area of real estate, it's any client that we have, right? Like businesses that we work with, who we do one transaction with, we do an employee handbook, or we do an asset purchase agreement, and then they come back to us because they trust us, right? So that is built, something that's built over time. So I think, you know, because we place, you know, such a high value on providing good service and, you know, communication with our clients and people we're dealing with, I think that has allowed for the slow and steady growth that we've seen over the last 4 years. Do you agree?
I agree entirely. I also think too that slow growth meant that we did not do more than we knew that we could handle at the time.
Right.
And not in the sense of like, like out of fear or out of just of being risk averse, but actually realizing like our business is, we knew from the very beginning, our business was going to grow. We knew that when it started with just the two of us, there was one day that we were going to onboard a paralegal to help us. And we knew that there was going to come a point in our business that was a breaking point and a turning point. There have been so many of those in our life. That we were going to feel it. It was going to be like a pain point, right? And we felt it and we onboarded a paralegal. And then we realized, wow, we actually need even more help than that. And we onboarded another attorney to work of counsel to our firm. And then we realized our support staff, our support team had to grow a little bit more. And we onboarded another paralegal. And it has just been a steady, consistent growth. And what has happened is that we didn't take on needless overhead from the very beginning.
No,
we weren't interested in that.
When when I went out on my own, I paid to use this conference room that we're sitting in. That's all I had. I was so careful about my overhead. I didn't need an office. I didn't need any of that nonsense because I wasn't, it was just me. Right. And then COVID hit and that's a whole other thing, but like, I didn't need the space. So I was very conscious about, you know, what I was doing and what I was spending my money on. And now we have the whole top floor of this building.
Yes.
But that also was something that happened over time. We kept like incrementally upgrading our office space. So we had this, I paid to use the conference room.
Yeah.
Then we had this tiny, tiny space in the basement of our build. It was like this. If you can see me on YouTube, it was like a
shoebox.
It was so small. Then we upgraded to a little bit of a bigger office on the first floor, mm-hmm. and then a bigger office on the first floor. And then we got another office upstairs, and we just kept like incrementally as we grew. And as we knew we could handle the expense, we took another office and now we have the whole top floor.
And in addition to that, we had another office location. We added another right. office location. We might be adding another office location. Yep. We are slowly but surely moving those pieces on the chessboard to match the growth that we are feeling in our business. And it's not for any reason, but this is going to serve the needs of our business and our clients. This is not because we want to come on here and say, look at our four office locations across the tri-state area, which we're going to do that at some point. But like for now, that's not really the purpose of it.
Right.
What's going to make the most sense for us to continue to run this business with an efficiency and a sustainability that we want to run the business with?
And along those lines, our team has grown.
Yes.
And so the third tip is really about your environment and who you surround yourself with. Mm-hmm. I think it's so important. And listen, our team has changed over the last couple of years for the better. And Amy and I have learned to, and we've really had to work on this, pivot when unexpected personnel changes occur.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, I think we handled that really well.
Yeah, we did.
Like we didn't really think, we didn't know what we were going to do at the time, but looking back on it, we sat in it for a minute and then just immediately pivoted and figured out, you know, a solution and what to do.
Yeah.
I mean, we always knew the importance of our team and who we surrounded ourselves with, but once that changed last year, it was like glaring.
Yes.
Like the difference in the environment and the office was just tremendous.
We have worked in a lot of places. Look, Laura has had the spectrum of legal employment positions, right? She has worked at some of the biggest like international firm down to smaller local law offices that were serving more local clientele. Yeah. And I can't say the same for myself. I've always worked in a small boutique law firm setting. And from the moment that I started practicing law, I recognized seriously what it meant to have a team of people that you could trust around you. Because at the time I first actually was in the legal field, we had shared space with another firm. And that other firm, it was like the gossip girl, like water cooler talk. Yeah. It was just, there was a toxicity that I was like, wow, this is crazy. I would never want this if this was my business. And so we have really pushed ourselves to elevate the kind of culture. And it starts at the top. I think it really starts as us modeling the behavior that we want to see in our office and in the culture and how we treat one another.
That's
in
like
our
that
team.
Reel that you sent to me by Rachel Hollis.
Yes.
So good.
Yes.
It was so good.
It starts from the top. It's that you are the one that sets the tone for everything else that happens in your business. Like your psychology becomes your business's psychology.
And you know what? I think at a certain point in time, we gave too much power to a certain individual in this office mm-hmm. and it ruined the environment.
Yeah.
Like we were no longer in control. I only realized this now. When we were in it, I didn't see it that way. But now looking back, I see it. So
you
now,
need to keep a lock on your thermostat. Okay. Your cultural thermostat in your office, you need to keep that under lock and key. And if there's a problem, then you're the problem.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And so for us, that's something that we have really come to reinforce on a daily basis. And we are so blessed with the energy that we have in our office right now, because
it
matters. We are totally about the energy. You and I.
We are about the energy and
it matters.
It matters. Mm-hmm. When you are going to work every day and spending time with whoever you're working with, look, if you work for somebody else, you don't always have control, right? Over like who's in your environment, stuff like that. So sometimes you just have to do the best you can to maintain a positive environment. But if you're the one in control and you have control over the kind of environment you're creating, it's all you. And so, you know, if you're going to work every day and spending time with these people, you want to be in an environment that's positive. You don't want to dread. I mean, look, we've been in that situation before. Yeah. Going to work at a place that's very negative and somewhere you just don't want to be anymore is really dreadful.
I said this to Laura right at the very beginning, and this is before we fired our first employee. It was like, I do not want to be the boss that comes into the office. And it's like from The Devil Wears Prada, where it's like, she's walking in and everybody is like, quick, she's on her broom. Yes. Like, here she comes. I never wanted that. And I really hope that's what's happening. I don't think so. No, but I kid, because I know that's not happening, because I really do. Laura and I both have a really good pulse on the energy in the office, and we can tell. And we also are the kinds of employers that we want to serve so that our employees are doing their best. Mm-hmm. We want to give back, like in true leadership style. We want to give back to our employees so that they feel like, this is where I want to come to work every single day. I do feel appreciated. I do feel like there's gratitude given to me and showered on me every single day. And we've gotten that feedback a lot. Like, even from the simple, just asking somebody how their weekend was, how often that's overlooked in an office setting is mind blowing. And if you're working remotely, even more so, that you don't have your manager like checking in on you or just thanking somebody at the very end of the day. That's another crucial
piece. But so big.
And it feeds into that formula of your culture and your team. And so these are our top three tips that we think that you can really take back. And they're not flashy. They're not, what'd you say? They're not fun.
They're not glamorous.
No glamour here. Slow and steady wins the race. And we are really looking forward to 2024 with these strategies in mind and kind of reinforcing them for ourselves.
Yeah, we definitely use them ourselves. And we hope that you take some tips from this also. So thanks so much for tuning in. We thank you for spending time with us today, and we'll talk to you on the next episode.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts, and perhaps share it with someone that you think might benefit from today's episode. We'll see you next week.